My ear is too small. That's why it's this high. Okay. Okay. Hello. My name is Amanda Brown. In honor of Father's Day, I was asked to speak a little bit about my father and some things that he's taught me. Also, it's only fair because we honored mothers on Mother's Day. Mom, I need you to lock it up or I'm going to cry. Thanks. All right. That goes for everyone. So, I think I'm ready. Okay, so, first of all, if you don't know them, my parents are, this totes worked earlier. Dang. Yes, it's on. Do you want me to just, like, point when I want you to do the next arrow or something? This is so sad. Okay, just hold on. Technical difficulties. Because it totally worked earlier. I'm not kidding. I was here so early. Pause. How about, can you just do it? You can just do it. Okay, Isaac will just do it. Isaac's here. Okay. Ready? One click. Okay, so, just kidding. If you don't know them, my parents are Andy and Jeanette. They sit in the second row in front of the halls every year, every day, every Sunday. And they also do the communion here. They're both teachers here in the Ottawa district. They're basically the cutest, so. Click. So they had two daughters. One more. Back. This is bad. I'm sorry I made a PowerPoint. It's all right. This is us. My sister Laura is 2 years older, and then me, and then you can click it. And she married Herrick, and they live in Florida, and then click. Keep going, or go back, I think. Should I start over? I married Garrett, and we live south of town. And then one click. So we grew up, south of Pomona, which is about 20 minutes from town. There's a picture of our house. I've always loved it. That was, I guess, unnecessary. But so if you know anything about my dad and I, you may know that we have a thing, and our thing is movies. And when I say that, I just feel like, let me start over. So movies is our thing, and with a wife and two girls at home, I'd say we've always had them pretty outnumbered. But we all really love to be outside with him pretty often. My sister really loved to hunt with him. And I really love to watch movies and sports with him, so I feel like kept him pretty happy. Like, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. And I can tell that when I say we love movies, you guys are thinking it's like a normal, chill love. No, we're pretty obsessed. It's like our favorite thing to do. It's like all we ever want to do all the time. And so I thought it would be like only normal to just work in some like movie references. So hopefully these work. It's terrible that I had to stop it right there for the sake of time. If you've never seen that movie, it's called A Cinderella Story. It's fabulous. I don't believe that Dad and I have ever watched it together. You're welcome. But if it's your thing, basically a whole bunch of other stuff happens, but essentially he's running up to the stands, he's going to get the girl, and then they're going to kiss, and then the rain is going to start coming, and it's going to end the drought that's been in their town. It's very important to watch the movie if you haven't seen it. However, not the point. The point is this father is the point. So we all know this father's character. To sum it up, he expects his son to go to the exact same college that he went to. He expects his son to play on the exact same football team he played on. Expects his son to graduate and come work at the exact same company, the family business, and essentially be happy that he's made all of his son's choices for him. So, unfortunately, this is portrayed often in fiction, and sometimes I think that it's a little bit of a reality, maybe not quite so grand a scale. But I cannot express how grateful I am to my dad for never, ever acting this way for me. Mom. The wall's nice. So, for example, if I didn't want to wear a dress, I got to wear pants. It was really great. I don't really know if I ever actively did that, but pants are better. And if my sister and I wanted to pretend that we were Lara Croft Tomb Raider, my dad would buy us plastic knives and like swords and guns and stuff, even though it meant that we were gonna whack the crap out of the trees in the backyard and each other. No big deal. If I didn't wanna run track, I didn't have to, praise Jesus. When I finally got the courage to tell him in like middle school that I actually found science classes really difficult and I probably wouldn't turn out to be a science teacher like he was, he wasn't disappointed in me at all, surprising for me. He laughed and just said that he never expected me to become one just because he was. And when I told my parents that, I'd say at the ripe age of like 13 or something, that I might end up going to KU and not K-State if KU had a program that K-State didn't that I really wanted to, I didn't get the lecture that I expected about the shame of having like a daughter that graduated from KU. It was interesting. Anyway, they told me that, instead they told me that something like that didn't really matter as long as I was happy learning what I was learning. So, silly stories, seemingly small thing to appreciate, but it's always been at the front of my mind. So I knew that throughout school, throughout high school, throughout college, and I still know now, that no matter what I'm doing, as long as I'm trying my best, they're going to be proud of me. So, big source of confidence for me, no matter what I'm doing, and I hope that they know that. I think that this is so similar to what God has done for us. God doesn't call us all to be the same. He doesn't call us all to follow in each other's footsteps. Instead, he specifically made us with unique talents and gifts and passions. And I just think that it's so important for us to realize and keep in mind that comparing ourselves to others in school or in sports or in parenting or in our jobs or in our faith, it's not what God intended. We can't all be pastors and we can't all be youth leaders and we can't all be missionaries, but God doesn't want us to be. He just wants us to identify what it is that we can be and focus on it and actually do something about it. And that's when we'll know that God's proud of us, not just our dads. So definitely something my dad taught me. Next. All right, so that's one of our favorite movies. It's called Independence Day. We watch it every Independence Day, just FYI. Just tradition. Normal. But pretty powerful stuff. The fact that an alien life force can, like, invade the world and burn a bunch of cities to the ground and want to massacre the entire human population. And the movie still has a happily ever after ending. Pretty amazing. Love it. And this is exactly why I love movies. No matter who the antagonist is or how terrible they are, no matter what conflict arises, no matter how many lives are lost, there's still going to be a happily ever after at the end, at least the movies that I like to watch. And I think that as a kid, I genuinely believe that this was real life as well. I don't really know why I wouldn't. I had this isolated home out in the country that with a big backyard, with all these flowers and a playground that I could pretend that I was the princess of. I had my big sister that I could follow around and try to act like and try to be like. And then I had two parents who loved each other and their kids more than anything. I knew that no matter how many times I stomped on my dad's toes in my plastic princess heels, and no matter how many mud holes I dug in the backyard, I would still get to pretend at the end of the day that I was asleep on the couch, and he'd pick me up and he'd carry me to my bed. I knew that no matter how tired he was or how angry I'd made him the day before, he'd always be making me breakfast in the morning, praise God. And I knew that no matter how terribly I got the lawnmower stuck on this really big log in the yard, and no matter how many times my test scores turned out to be B's instead of A's, that he'd still tell me that he was proud of me. And I knew that no matter what, he'd always be telling me that he loved me. All the time. So God knows our hearts. He knows that we're going to fail and that we're going to fail often. He knows that we're going to upset him and we're going to stomp on his toes and we're going to keep running away from home over and over. But what he wants us to remember is that he's always going to be there to pick us up at the end of the day and carry us to bed so that we can try again tomorrow. And even if we aren't acknowledging it, even if we aren't thanking him for it, he's still going to be there carrying us through, carrying us with our failures, with our baggage and our darkest traits. And he's going to be loving us with his whole might the whole time. And so my dad's demonstrated that kind of godly love to me so much and still does. And while each of our days on earth are not going to have a fairy tale ending, God's given us the gift of salvation, the ultimate happily ever after. So, this is Lord of the Rings. It's the epitome of our obsession with movies. It's our favorite. You're all really lucky that I only limited myself to one clip from it. It was really hard. So, essentially, if you've never seen it before, Gandalf is the wise wizard who's guiding the other character, Frodo, on a dangerous path to save the world. Really condensed summary. You should all watch the movie so that you know. There's actually three. So, when Frodo realizes the severity of the situation, and that he's being asked to accomplish basically the impossible, he begins to wish that his reality could somehow be undone, rewound back to before the bad stuff began. So while I don't think I've ever been in a life-threatening or hero-worthy situation, I've definitely managed to convince myself to panic and exaggerate as if I was. I think everyone knows that. So as far back as I can remember, if my dad has been lucky enough to be around me during one of these moments, he's always laughed at me, like always, without fail. And it's never been unkindly or made me feel stupid, which I appreciate, but he's always laughed at my ability to blow things out of proportion and proclaim that my life is over or my life is at least forever changed for the worse. For example, a couple of years ago, I came home to my parents after I graduated, and I told them how exhausted I was from working 8 hours a day for 5 days in a row and trying to do laundry and cooking and cleaning and dishes in the evenings and still not miss out on any of my social fun or family obligations. And I just couldn't believe it. I told them I had no idea how they both managed to do all of that and still find the time to raise my sister and me and pay their bills and drive us to our sports and concerts and take us on vacations and to the doctor, and how impossible it was, still seems impossible. So I was sort of acknowledging how amazing they were for accomplishing all of this, but for the most part, I was just complaining about how hard of a time that I was having. And they just laughed and laughed at me, like, for an extended period of time. They did lovingly affirm my feelings and told me that they understood the difficulty that I was experiencing, but they couldn't help but laugh at my overreaction. So whether intentional or not, when I'm running around and yelling all the time about how hard my situation is or how hard this choice is that I have to make, my dad's inability to contain his chuckle has never failed to relax me, even if just a little bit. He's just subtly reminding me that I'm going overboard. And it might not be right away, it might not be all the time, but sometimes after the situation or the choice has passed, I can sometimes look back on it and realize the parts of the story that I was missing or was just ignoring. The situation might have been difficult, but it was probably necessary in order for me to grow or to learn or maybe even help someone else. So I think that this is the part of Christianity that we all tend to ignore. We don't want to talk about it. We'd prefer that our lives be free of sadness, of pain, of difficulty. We just want God's path for us to be God's path for us, but to be the path of least resistance. But God clearly tells us that this is not what we should be expecting. It should be the opposite. He guarantees that we're going to have tough choices and heartbreaking moments in our path. And our job is simply to just react the way that God wants us to. God's going to use every situation to change us or to mature us or maybe to prepare us for a future time down the road when someone else is going to go through that same thing we did and we can be some comfort or a source of wisdom for them. And we're all meant to be exactly where we are, whether it's a good place or a bad place. So in those moments, in both the good and the bad, hopefully, we're able to hear God subtly reminding us to just calm down and focus on the truth that he's taught us. So I'm really grateful for my dad's representation of that wisdom. So on this Father's Day, I want to thank all the other fathers out here. I want to thank your presence in our church, for your influence on Garrett and I as we've grown up in this church family. I just want to thank you for having beautiful babies that we get to play with and get to have fun with and get to see grow up and be old and like not want to talk to us anymore. It's fine. It's not fine. I just want to thank my earthly father for his love and his support and his wisdom. I'm so incredibly blessed to be able to learn from him, to laugh with him, and most importantly, to kick his butt in all of the board games that he's taught me how to play. I'd also like to thank my favorite father-in-law for raising the man who has become my husband. I don't know what we'd do without you. And most importantly, I'd like to thank our Heavenly Father for the gift of dads and the gift of family and relationships. He's given us such amazing examples of sacrifice and of love. And they're just a reflection of his sacrifice for us. For us, who he loves no matter what. Just like our earthly dads.
All right. So, when I was kind of asked to do this, Kent and I were discussing how it was, what his thoughts were for it, and I think I also have a small ear, apparently. So, you know, he was like, you know, talk about your experiences, talk about growing up with your dad, and then also relate it back to him, capital H. So, for me, I took it as the idea that how my dad shaped me and how he's helped me with my personal walk with Christ. So I'm going to brag on him a little bit. And I don't want you to think that's the focus of this, of how great my dad is, even though he is great and he's a superhero to me. The reason my dad's a superhero is because Christ was a cornerstone in our house. And he was a corner, because he was a cornerstone in my dad's life. And so that has something that I've carried with me forever. And so everything he did was with the idea and the image that, you know, he was doing this for our Heavenly Father because that's what we're called to do. So, before we get going, though, I do want to talk about two other guys in my life who have had a huge impact on me as well. They are my grandfathers, who I've been extremely blessed with to grow up with both of them, which is not a blessing that a lot of people get to have. I have my papa, which is my dad's dad, and I have grandpa, who most of you know as John, or if you worked with them, people call him Cobb. So, Papa is a man of faith, integrity, a Marine, and the operator of Nana's farm. I spent most of my summers at the farm until I started working full-time, and I wouldn't leave him alone. I asked countless questions about cows, tractors, their massive garden, and most importantly, when we could go fishing. He led by example and showed me the wonders of being outside and the feeling you get when you produce something with your own hands for another. My favorite times of the year are spring calving, haying, and weaning because I get to do them with my papa and my dad. He's never wavered from what his Bible has told him and never makes an excuse to not attend the early Baptist church service and Sunday school at their church in Gardner. Grandpa's a man of unending love, faith, character, and an acute ability to connect with just about anyone he meets, even though he doesn't like crowds. Grandpa showed me how to find common ground with others by putting myself in their shoes. He too got me outside, except in his case, it was planting flowers, playing catch, and on the back of his Harley. The first time I listened to Pink Floyd, Bob Dylan, George Thorogood, the Beatles, and just about anything in the bluegrass genre was at his house. He never missed an opportunity to tell me how much he loved me. Grandpa, much like Papa, also worked for a living and never complained. He worked at the Walmart DC for almost 30 years, and until his retirement this past March, which he didn't tell anybody about until a couple weeks after he actually retired. Grandpa's love for Jesus Christ is one largely of self-discovery and realizing he couldn't do it on his own. Because of this, he gives unmatched advice and adds clarity to just about any situation I have found myself in over the years. Both of these men are two of my favorite people to hang out with, even though one is basically deaf and has a hard time asking for help. And the other won't buy another motorcycle, even though he's retired now, and it would give his eldest grandson the perfect excuse to get one as well. I'm sorry, I got a chest cold, so hopefully I don't cough too bad. All right, so, Dad. Rodney Allen Brown was born on June 27th, 1969. He was either 3 or 6 weeks early, depending on who you ask, and for this reason, he never has to be on time again. Since he was born in the summer of 69, The Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams will be played at his funeral. He has this song, along with several others, including Old Rugged Cross, sung by Alan Jackson, written in the back of his Bible, accompanied by verses and a poem he would like read as well. I'm pretty sure he did this because he is worried we won't do it right otherwise. He grew up on the family farm. He's the fourth generation to be raised there. He is the oldest of four and the only boy. He had to carry his sisters to school a lot, and it was usually snowing. He married Deanna Lynn Cobb on December 17, 1988, at the age of 19, because when you know, you know. Then I came along 5 years later, Chloe came along in 1997, and then Joel in 2004, and my friends affectionately call my father Hot Rod. Growing up in the Brown household was a blast, but we were expected to help. Whether it was dinner, dishes, painting the house, raking leaves, shoveling the sidewalk, mowing, or working on our own vehicles. I once asked Dad when I was, probably 10 or 11, why we didn't just hire someone to build the picket fence that encloses my parents' backyard. He said, "We're Browns. We do it ourselves." And then after a little bit of a pause, he said, "And why do you think I had you?" So I hand-dug post holes, screwed in pickets, and got to put my initials in the concrete that the corner posts were sat in. Okay, so that's the background. I picked about three things that growing up had a big impact on me and have helped me with my walk with Christ, that my dad was very intentional about these things, and it's just an incredible blessing. So, first, we didn't always go to church. It's true. After I was born in the magical place that is Manhattan, Kansas, thank you, we moved to Nebraska after Dad finished school. We lived in Hastings. Dad worked for a large farming outfit, helped with custom harvesting, and worked in their pig operation. Then we moved back to Kansas when I was about 18 months old and lived in the smokehouse at the farm until we finally moved to Ottawa to a mobile home over off Burrow Street. This is the first time I remember talking about Jesus. I was probably four or five. I think I was probably four. I really don't remember Chloe being there. We were in the living room, and we had been going to church in the area a few times, but not real regularly. We sat down, it was Sunday, and Dad read some passages from his Bible out loud. He read these passages out loud. He wanted to create this moment not only for our family, but also because he wanted to make sure that him and my mom's relationship was centered on Christ. And this is something that is just been always there throughout my entire life, and this has always stood out to me because it demonstrates to me just how intentional my father is with his faith. He not only wanted to share and discuss Jesus with my mom, but he also wanted to teach me. And so Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Our little church services in the living room of the mobile home were just that. He wanted me to understand why we have this hope, and how one gets it. I will always be truly grateful for the foundation that he set and the example he is for me and my siblings. I gave my life to Christ when I was 6 years old at VBS in Gardner. It was at my Nana and Papa's church. I remember coming home and telling Dad that I had prayed the prayer, and he was really excited for me. And we sat down, and then we went over every Bible verse from VBS that week. And not only did we go over them, he explained the meaning behind them to me. Now, I will admit, I really didn't fully understand the commitment to Christ until I was about 10 or 11, and that was because I went to an event at OMS with my mom. That's when it hit me. I had gone with mom, and we prayed and discussed it. When we got home, he asked me what was different this time. And I said, "Dad, I understand now that Jesus didn't have to die for me, but he did. There was a choice." And that was just profound to me, and it's just something that's always stood out to me. And he was pumped. He told me he was proud of me. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." That's what he did. And I think this is one of the most important things he ever made me do, was explain myself. He didn't want me to just do something. He wanted me to understand why and be able to then convey that to someone else. And as part of our calling to be ambassadors for Christ, this has played a huge role in my life. Just gonna stick together. All right, second, discipline and love. I got spanked and I got hugs too. My dad was the main disciplinarian in our house, which was honestly better for us kids because mom could be way scarier. I don't have time, but she like comes from the floor when she hits you, and it's just this weird motion. She's got long arms. So Dad wouldn't really shout so much as he would just do this clenched teeth whisper shout thing like this. When that happened, you knew you were in trouble. The second he would get your attention, though, he would get down on your level and somewhat calmly discuss, what was up. He never made a scene or tried to embarrass you if you were in public. He would just create this little moment where you were one-on-one with him, and you better appreciate it. This is a quote from Rick Warren, who's a pastor in California. He's got a mega church, and I think it really fits this point great. It's God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in making your life holy than he is in making your life happy. This is exactly why I was told no. This is why I couldn't do things that others could. Because Dad, he loved me, and he cared too much about me and my siblings. And that's why I was shown wrong from right. The second piece of this is that Dad understands we're all God's children. And he was entrusted by God to raise us in a way that was pleasing to him. The reason I know this is because he told us this. His job is to be our dad for God. The way Dad disciplined really makes me think, too, about how God gets our attention sometimes. He isn't in the thunderclap or the bolt of lightning, but he's in there when you're driving to work and you're stuck in traffic. Or when you stop and take a breath outside and you suddenly realize all the beauty that is around you. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And that's what my dad did. He didn't push religion on us. He led by example, as he continues to do today. All right, third, relationships. I said earlier that Mom and Dad got married pretty young, and they actually just celebrated 30 years of marriage, so awesome job, guys. Growing up, I didn't realize how big of a deal this was until I started to slowly see friends' parents separate and divorce. And now that I'm married, it means even more. I don't think either one of them would say that their marriage has been flawless. They fight just like anyone else. They fought when we were growing up, but no one ever slept on the couch, and they would always try and steal a moment or two away from us to talk it out in the kitchen together. I see their love as an old love, an unbreakable bond that's rooted in friendship, compromise, understanding, and a whole lot of passion. Because if you ask my father, every day is Valentine's Day at the Brown House. The real reason this works and continues to work, though, is because Jesus is at the forefront of their relationship. My parents, again, have always been incredibly intentional about saying, you know, Christ is the head of this. In Ephesians 4, 9 through 10, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." Now, this is obviously a lot deeper than marriage. This is just the point I'm using it for, but this goes with anything, any kind of relationship you have with a brother or sister in Christ. That's what my parents did. They chose not only to lift someone who lifts them up emotionally, but also spiritually. Even though Dad's not the best at presence and his projects always take longer than he plans, he respects my mom, validates her feelings, and listens to her opinions. She used to fall asleep on the couch when we were young, and he would carry her upstairs to bed. He makes sacrifices for her, just as she has for him. But neither one of them, I don't think, would really see them as sacrifices. They are just simply being married and doing what's best for the both of them. I have a lot of stories and goofy experiences growing up with my dad. He could be a goober, but he can be serious and strict as well. He's basically the total package. I never thought growing up that when I got older, my dad would become one of my best friends. He lets me borrow tools when I'm working on something that is taking longer than I thought it would. I can never have less than a 15-minute phone conversation with him, and I get pumped if we get the opportunity to go chase spring turkeys together, which doesn't happen as much as it used to because we are both now really busy. But my favorite part about our relationship is our faith in Jesus and the promise of eternal life. Because no matter what happens, I get to hang out with my dad forever. So, I'm going to go ahead and pray. You guys want to bow your heads? Dear God, we thank you for fathers and father figures. We thank you for putting them in our lives. We especially thank you for the ones who lead us in accordance to the way that you want us to be led. We thank you for the lights that they are in our lives and for their constant guidance. God, we just pray that those of us who aren't fathers and those of us just in general who are followers of you continue to do so in a way that is pleasing to you and continue to shed your light on a world that is all too often too dark. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.